Hello, everybody. It's hard to believe that it's now been 10 weeks since we last worshipped together in the church, and I know that there's a growing sense of frustration among the family of God. But I do hope and pray that you have been encouraged as we've been working through some of the Psalms over the past couple of months. We're nearing the end of that series now, and more details on that a bit later. Today we're looking at one of the real treasures in the book of Psalms, and that is Psalm 8. The words of David. So we read Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. One of the great quests of human beings is this strive for significance. And at one point or another, we all ask questions like, who am I really? What is the purpose of my existence? And do I really matter? In March 1980, Time magazine's cover article was a feature on the comedian Peter Sellers. And on the cover, they asked the question, who is this man? Now, I do understand that it takes an acquired taste to appreciate things like The Goon Show and many other roles that Sellers played in his showbiz career. But whether you were a fan or not, most would agree that along with Spike Milligan, Peter Sellers was a comic genius. But like so many gifted artistic people, both Sellers and Milligan were what we would call tormented geniuses. Peter Sellers was once a guest on The Muppet Show, where he was interviewed by Kermit the Frog, no less. And the interview began with Kermit saying to Sellers, now just relax and be yourself. And Sellers, you can look it up on YouTube, he leaned forward and said to him, I can't be myself because I don't know who I am. The real me doesn't exist. Now on the surface, he was trying to be funny because that's what comedians do. But on reflection, his words were anything but funny. In fact, they were rather sad. And one of his longtime friends, commenting on this, said of him, poor Peter, the real Peter disappeared a long time ago. What he is now is simply an amalgamation of all the stage and screen characters he has ever played. And now he is frantically trying to unsnarl that mess and find out who he really is. No one knows if Peter Sellers was ever able to unsnarl the mess or not, because less than 6 months later he was dead. But whether or not he did, he wasn't alone in his feelings. So many people go through life wondering who they are, what they're supposed to be doing, and where they're supposed to be going. Psalm 8 verse 4, David asks, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? This is just after he had written in the previous verse, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you've set in place. As David looked up at the vastness of God's universe, he was keenly aware of his own smallness, but yet he also knew that he mattered to God. And it's important for us to find the answer to David's question. Who are we that God is so concerned about us? What are we, and where are we going? Now the world will give us all kinds of answers. Some scientists tell us that we're just accidents of nature, no more important than the insects. The Christian apologist Frank Turek says that evolutionists regard human beings as nothing more than wet robots. Really, is that all we are? Nothing more than these moist machines with no direction in our lives and no purpose to our existence? The Bible, though, does give us an answer. The Bible says to us that you are special. You are a unique person created in the image of God. In Genesis chapter 2, God reaches down and takes the dust of the ground and he forms it into human body. And he breathes into its nostrils the breath of life. And he gives life to Adam. And he then also created Eve. And our first parents then lived in this paradise which God had created. There was no doubt in their minds that they had a purpose. Their purpose was to live in fellowship with the God who created them. And they lived for a while enjoying this purpose for which they were created, to have fellowship with God, to honor him with their lives. The Latin for image of God is Imago Dei. Adam and Eve were given the capacity to think and be creative. One of the great privileges that we have as the pinnacle of God's creation is that we are able to reflect his very nature and his character. And we need to recognize this important point. We were created by God, for God, and we're important to him. So we must never think too lowly of ourselves. And in Psalm 8, David understands this truth. When he says, speaking of himself and subsequently all of us, you made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. So we should never think too lowly of ourselves, but the opposite also applies. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 12 verse 3, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Yes, we're created in the image of God, but that image has become marred by our sin. And just like Adam and Eve, we need to recognize our spiritual nakedness before this holy, almighty God. We were created to walk with him. We were created to talk with him. We were created to have fellowship with him. But because of sin, there is this great chasm now between us. This is why it is good for us to remember that we should not think too highly of ourselves, because this is essentially what happened when sin entered the world. The great attraction was the false promise given by Satan in Genesis 3 verses 4 and 5. You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. It is this lie which is at the heart of the sin problem. Basically, what we are saying now is, I'm not just created in the image of God, I am God. I can control my own life and my own destiny. But on the opposite side of the coin, we can become so focused on our sins that we become totally defeated and we walk around feeling that we're worth nothing at all. Now, somewhere in between these two opposite extremes is the truth. And that truth is to be found in Jesus Christ. When we have a proper understanding of how far we have fallen from the standards which God requires of us, but at the same time we recognize our hope in Christ, we will begin to understand just what God has done for us and how far he has gone in order to reconcile us to himself. This is at the very core of the gospel. Now, in this quest for significance and purpose, because of what Jesus has done, we are able to say, I am created in the image of God. Yes, that image is marred by my sin, but because of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, he has brought me back into the kingdom of the God who created me. And it is in Jesus that we will find this balance. It is in him and in him alone where it all comes together once more. Jesus makes us able once again to reflect God's image. In other words, to be the kind of people that God intended us to be from the very beginning. Here we are, walking around wondering who we are, trying to fill these empty spaces in our lives, searching and trying to make significance of our lives, making these foolish mistakes over and over again, trying to cram something into the empty parts of our lives. But the Bible teaches us that we were created in God's image. And yes, that image has been marred. But we can once again reflect the glory of the image of God. Because through Christ, we are made full and we are made complete. In fact, Paul says exactly that in Colossians 2 verse 10. He says, in Christ you have been brought to fullness. The English Standard Version says, you have been filled in him. While the New King James Version says, you are complete in him. But that's the answer. The answer is Christ. Peter Sellers' comment was so sad and so poignant because his words sum up the human condition without God so accurately. I don't know who I am, and the real me doesn't exist. So who am I? Who are you? There really is no mystery to these seemingly deep questions. God has always had the answer for us. Even when our sin drove us from his presence, the purpose of our existence did not change. But it is Jesus Christ who now makes all the difference. He has made it possible for us to be reconciled with the God who loves us with an immeasurable love. It is in Christ alone that we are these new creations. That's why we can say with confidence that the old has gone and the new has come. This is the wonderful message of hope that we have to share with the world. You see, the only thing that really counts is whether Jesus Christ is Lord and King. At the end of this life, when you draw your final breath, that will be the only thing that really matters. It is Jesus and Jesus alone who makes it possible for us to be reconciled to the God that we are guilty of committing cosmic treason against. We deserve punishment. We deserve to be banished from his presence forever. But that was never the purpose of our existence. And thanks be to God, because of Jesus Christ, our purpose remains the same. But the only way we can be reconciled to him is through the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. Turn to Christ and accept the salvation and the hope that you have in him, because at the end of the day, nothing else really matters. Next Sunday, the 31st, is Pentecost Sunday. And so this coming Wednesday, we will conclude this brief series on the Psalms. And what better psalm to end on than Psalm 23 and the promise that Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, is the one who walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. It is he and he alone who will bring us to our home in the heights. That is the hope that we have, and I hope you will join us for that. God bless you.